might come on the United
Right. Region. Okay. You know what? Well, I was going to pick up another process word, but while you guys were talking, you know, I just thought about you're talking to your friend. We have a responsibility with this message, and it is to make all men see. Not make them in the sense of we're going to sit down here until you get it, because only the Holy Spirit can enlighten your understanding. But we do have a responsibility to share it, to make it known, to get it out. And that is part of our ambassadorship. I look at 2 Corinthians. So we'll just talk about a little bit about our ambassadorship, and not just what it is, but how we should go about doing it. Because we come here, this is a classroom for edification. We can do a lot of things on Tuesday and Sunday. We don't have to be here. And this is not a religious activity. I hope it's not. I hope that you come here to learn what you can learn, not just for the simple fact that it's God's word to us. And if you thought about it, it says, I just think about even you guys. If somebody says, you know what, one of you say, hey, I need to meet you after class. I got something I want to talk to you about. Well, that's an anticipation for me right there. But just think about it, where you have God that says, Frank, I called you out of your darkness because it's something I want to talk to you about. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, and he says, Jerry, I got something I want you to do for me. That is amazing when you think about it. So often I sit back sometimes. I think there's a scripture in Proverbs says where the more wisdom you get, the more grievous it becomes. And it's much, it's as you learn more, I think the opposition from Satan gets greater, greater and greater. Because he realizes that, you know what, if this guy is getting indoctrinated, he's loading up on this teaching, so he knows what God is doing. He knows what God wants from him. So he has to attack you. Because all that live godly will suffer what? Persecution. It's just the way when Peter and the 12 went out preaching, automatically they got beat. When Satan found the program was changed, what happened? He left Peter and the 12 and he went after Paul. So if the message is passed on to us, if we haven't been entrusted with it, what do you think is in line for you?
Suffering. We're going to suffer with
it. It won't be what we see on TV, where everybody greets you, and they hug you and kiss you, and oh, we love it, and they pack the house, and they send you all over the world, and you're a celebrity. It won't be like that. Do you ever notice that when these guys preach the gospel, they don't get opposition like that? And you know why? Because Satan looks at it, he says, that guy? Don't worry about that guy. Remember in Acts, remember in Acts where they were going through the gospel, going through the town, and the man was saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Right. He's like, come out of him. And look at Acts 16. Acts.
Don't forget 2 Corinthians.
Don't forget 2 Corinthians. Okay, I'm sorry.
He'll be back there.
I'll be back there, right.
Don't forget to go back there. But they were right.
Where we're going? Acts what?
Acts, I believe it's Acts 16. He says, let's see, it was 16. Well, I can't find it. But he says, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. He said, but who are you?
Yeah.
He said, you know what? He had no authority at all. And then the demons actually got on him. That's I don't know what verse that was in. But anyway, we won't. If somebody finds it, we can read it later. But we'll go back to 2 Corinthians. Now, if you can multitask, you can look while we look at 2 Corinthians. And maybe you can find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We start at verse 12. You know what? I think we're going to have to go back to verse 8. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is as he always done, is he's defending his apostleship. There were some Corinthians who were caught up with these false apostles there, who had been imposing themselves on the Corinthians, and they were saying, you know, Paul's nobody, we're the ones that you should follow. And Paul says in verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Yeah, you know, he's saying we're not trying to impress anybody, but he's saying we've been hired by God. So we try to make ourselves approve to him. And we hope that, you know what, in the meantime, you accept us also. One of the things I think about when I go to class, that Thursday class, is I know in whom I believe. How's that, Sherry? I know in whom I believe. And I know what my job is. And with the information that we have, I know that I'm right. But I still want to behave in a manner that becomes the gospel. Because I know I can't win that man. I just plant in water, and God gives the increase. But I don't want to get into an argument with him, because like my pastor used to say, you can win the argument but lose the man. Well, what good is that? Now, all of us have, you will have an opportunity to talk to somebody. And I remember Russell said in the conference, he said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And when you first learn, you go out and you want to correct people. You want to back them into a corner doctrinally. You want to make them say uncle with the scriptures. But that's not the way you do it. You want to build him up, don't you? Because, well, look at verse, back to verse 12. He says, for verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He says, okay, for you Corinthians who are caught up in personalities, He says, we do this to kind of give you some ammunition. Because they'll say, well, you follow Paul, he's nobody. Look at him. These Corinthians were being abused by these apostles, so-called apostles. And Paul says, I won't take your money. I won't mistreat you. He says, the only thing I have is the gospel. And I'm going to preach that because I have to preach that. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like this gospel is so good that, you know what, when you see people in confusion, you say, man, I just got to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right, and you know what, you want it not because let me show you where you're wrong, but let me show you what God has for you.
Absolutely.
And they automatically, if you don't do it in the right spirit, they'll think you're trying to take something from them, but really you're trying to give them the greatest thing that you can give them, which is this passing this treasure on to them, right? Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Point number one. As an ambassador, you have to realize that who are you? We're really nobody. God has given us this privilege to represent him. If all were dead, if one died for all, he said, then all were dead. If he had to die for all of us, what good were we? Or if he had to die for all of us, what did you bring to the table that he said, spare him and we'll do the rest? No good. We were all in the same scrap heap. And to take us, call us by his gospel and say, you can do this for me. I want you to do this for me. This is a privilege to do this for me. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Jesus walked on the earth. Everything he did, Notice the verse. Now I want you to think about this. Paul is saying, we have apostles around you that you're looking at them according to the flesh, according to their accomplishments, the things that they are doing right now, what they boast in. He says, but we don't know anybody. We don't know men after the flesh. He says, even though we've known Christ after the flesh, isn't that what we do now? We look at Christ after the flesh. The first thing you talk to a person who is a churchgoer or saved person, they say, we got to follow Jesus. He was our example. And he says right here that we don't know him after the flesh. He didn't come to be an example. He came to fulfill all righteousness. He came to accomplish something that nobody could duplicate. That's why he came into the world. To perform a one time only act of redemption. You can't follow him. That's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says that, those shoes are too big to walk in. Jesus' shoes is too big to walk in. You couldn't duplicate that. And that's why Paul says, though we've known him after the flesh, yet henceforth now know we him no more. Because now he's not in the manger. He's not walking the earth, but he's ascended far above all heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father, because he's already completed the work. So if we take him down and put him back here to try to have him as an example, we've stripped this away. Because the Gospels tell you what he did on earth. But Paul tells us what he did after he left earth. The Gospels will bring you up to the cross, but Paul tells you what happened by the cross. All those words that we've been going over, Peter couldn't tell you that while he's walking on earth, because it hadn't been accomplished yet. Redemption, sanctification, reconciliation, glorification, all those words. Paul is the one that looks back and says, this is what happened at the cross for you. And he says, now I'm beseeching you to be an ambassador. He says, if any man be in Christ, therefore, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is part of your identity. You know, you can say, well, I worked this job for 50 years. That's great for us if we look at him after the flesh, right? But if he gets as far as his spiritual man is concerned, we wouldn't look at him as how many machines he stocked. It wouldn't mean a thing, would it? What we want to know is, how's the new man? What's he like? Because he's a new what? He's not Jerry the vendor. He's Jerry the ambassador. Right? So we don't look at, you know, we don't look at each other in that fleshly way. We always look, you know what? We always look at the spiritual perspective. I could be a great salesman, but I'm an ambassador first, salesman second, because I'm a new creature. So you might look at my performance. Yeah, he's a great salesman, but he's a terrible ambassador. Which one counts the most?
Which one counts at all?
Which one counts at all, right? The ambassadorship counts the most. He says, and verse 18, and all things are of God. All what things? All the things that went into making you a new creature, a new creature. All things are of him. He's the one who established the body of Christ. He's the one who established your salvation, the justification, the sanctification. All those things are because of him. We are who we are because of him. That's why when you realize that you bring nothing, you brought nothing to the table to change yourself, that's why you can realize that, what am I? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We're just servants. And we're yours. We're for you. To the very Corinthians who rejected him, he says, you know what? We are saying this that you might not esteem any man more than he ought to be. Because he knew, you know what, we're just ministers. We're just ambassadors who've been entrusted with this message. And you're getting carried away with personalities. So when we go out and we talk to people, we might get carried away with ourselves. Or you think, you know what? I know way more than you, and you need to listen to me. And not thinking, you know what? You're looking at this man's inner man. You want to minister to his inner man. Don't you?
No.
Because that's the point of contact is with this word and his inner man. Not with you to him, but with this to him. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Ministry of reconciliation. Okay. He didn't stop there. Okay, what is that, Paul? To wit, or to know. Did you know this? That God was in heaven. Reconcile. Oh, I'm sorry. In what? In Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of what?
Reconciliation.
Now, that's everybody. Now, primarily to Paul, now we've all been, you're an ambassador. Go to your friends, your religious friends or whatever, and say, did you know that you were an ambassador? Or did you know that you were a minister? You're a minister? Did you know you're a minister of reconciliation? Oh, no, not me. I'm not qualified to be a minister. We know that.
That's the first qualification.
You know, that's good. We know that. But he said, you have earned the minister of reconciliation. Did he say that?
No.
He said, he gave it to you. The ministry, the service of reconciliation. That's kind of like, okay, you get saved. Like Paul said, Lord, what'd you have me to do? He said, tell you what, just go out and tell everybody that I've already reconciled them. And they have a privilege to come in right now. If you don't know anything else, I remember we were talking about it. Well, I don't know that much. That's one thing right there. You know what? You don't have to have a lot of learning to know that. And you can just go to God and say, I don't know a whole lot, but I know that God has made me a minister of reconciliation, and he's begging you to be reconciled. You can memorize that. And you say, how do I get reconciled? And you say, look at verse 20. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by... What does beseech mean?
Plead.
Plead. Beg. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Why? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a great job. That's a great job. Isn't that a great job?
Great job.
You realize, you know what? That's all you got. You know what? He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what I like? He says, as though God did beseech you by us. And a pastor in Detroit, he used to say this. He used to say, you go up to a guy and say, God couldn't be here today, but he sent me to tell you something. And he's like, you know, that'll catch somebody down.
Yeah.
What kind of wacko is this? But you know what? You say, he couldn't be here today, but he sent me to beg you to be reconciled. And you say, did you know Christ was made sin for you? Did you know that you could be made the righteousness of God in Him? Did you know that He took care of everything that's wrong with you? Yesterday, today, tomorrow? Did you know He died one time for all? Did you know He put away your sin by the sacrifice of Himself? Did you know He made you acceptable? Not that you earned it. He made you acceptable, forgiving you all trespasses. You're like, I don't know anything else, but I know that I believe that. That's enough to warm your heart right there. You don't know anything about baptism, anything about tongues, nothing about tithes, nothing about the deep, meaty things of Scripture. But you got that. And that is the ambassadorship. You just go out. Oh, I had a little booklet. It's called The Embarrassing Ambassador, where they sent this man over to a foreign country, and he went over with a shirt and tie and everything. You know, he was nice and refined, and he knew everything that the country told him to do. He was a good example. He goes over, and he starts to mingle with the people. And after a while, he's given this message. Then he began to entertain them. They began to entertain him, and they became friends. And then after a while, he started to kind of ease up. You know, he'd take his tie off, and then he'd take his jacket off, and they'd still entertain him. And then he'd go eat where they ate, and then he'd engage in their activities. Then after a while, he took his hat and his hair and banded it up like they banded theirs up. And after so much time spending over there, he had no longer represented the views of the country that sent him. And they went over there to get him and say, go see how things are going over in this country. You hadn't heard from him. And they go over there, and the guy's sitting in the gate of that country, and he's got a cup, and he's begging the people that walk by for money. And they look at him and say, aren't you the ambassador to this country? What are you doing? He had lost his identity as an ambassador. One of the things that Paul says in Romans, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. What he went over there, instead of being an ambassador, he went over there and they changed his whole identity. He forgot who he was. And instead of representing the country who sent him, he began to... He was actually worse than them, because he was begging. He was emulating them. Now you say, well, what does that got to do anything? We're ambassadors for Christ. And how many times have you... you don't have to answer this, but you're in a position where you can be an ambassador, but you back down because of the pressure or the opposition. That's what an ambassador is. It could be a country that's at odds with your country. Sometimes they're friendly, sometimes they're not. But it's not your home, so why would you get comfortable with the activities and the things that go on there, knowing that, you know what? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, Philippians 3, verse 17. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of who? Of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for what? Why didn't he say follow Christ? Use Jesus as an example. He says you follow me and you follow other people who walk like me and use us as your example. He says why, Paul? For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's what that ambassador was doing. His mind was on earthly things. His mind wasn't on the place that sent him. His mind was on other things. To be a good ambassador, you have to have your mind focused on the right place. You can't be a good ambassador and be earthly minded, carnally minded. That's what he said. They mind earthly things. That is, you know what? They're not. What's the opposite of earth? Earthly things.
Heavenly
things. How often is your mind on heavenly things?
Not often
enough.
Not very much. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence? From heaven. Also, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, our conversation, now they used conversation back then like we use citizenship here. Conversation means like your lifestyle, your manner of life. Like I think he says in Peter, he says, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. He didn't mean just conversation, just me and you talking. He says, you know what? Conduct yourself in line with the gospel. And Paul says, our conversation is where?
In heaven.
In heaven. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate and he says, don't you know I have power to crucify you? I got power to let you go or not. And he says, you got nothing. He says, tell me, are you king of the Jews? And he says, thou sayest. It's kind of like, you said it. And Pilate, you know, really got to him. And after a while, he says, look at Matthew. It could be. Let me get it. Matthew 27.
Well, Matthew had a lot to say.
That's he did, didn't he? You know what? I don't think it's in Matthew. I think it's in John. Yeah. Get John 18 and let's start at verse
John 13.
John 18. Let's start at verse 33. He says, then Pilate, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was what? Was a robber. And there's another, what I think the verse is in Matthew, where he said,
a killer as well as a thief.
Barabbas, yeah. But he says to Jesus, he said, after he told him his kingdom was not of this world, and he gets to Jesus and he says, from whence comest thou? He just asked, after all this discourse, he says, where are you from? he got it. He can see that, you know what? There's something going on here. This is a little truth in this. But I say all that to say, you know what? We're ambassadors. And people ought to know that there's a little something different about you. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about they ought to see in your lifestyle that is something. And I'm not being legalistic. I'm just saying they ought to see there's something different about the way you treat this book, the way you carry yourself. They should be able to pick that up. And it's not a thing of pretension. It's who you are. And you don't get that by scripture boxing. And I didn't always. You get that through growth. I remember in Detroit where I was first getting this, and I go into the I would go find people that, you know what, you saved? How you know you saved? What you got? You know, and just to engage, but it was kind of like I want to show them that, you know what, he don't have to do all this stuff. But I was focused on taking the idol. I wasn't focused on having him turn to God. Like Thessalonians, they turned to God from idols. You didn't go and take the idol. They just preached the true and living God to them. And after a while, I met a guy in the coffee shop. It was a sandwich shop. And we were talking about baptism. And I said, do you know there's more than one baptism in the Bible? And he's like, yeah. I said, in Matthew, you got three right there. You got water, you got the Holy Spirit, and you got fire. And I say, well, you know, which one is the right one? And he says, they're all right. He says, I got all three of them. And I was like, I said, see, that's just stupid, because the fire in Matthew is wrath. You don't have all three of them. And I remember that day like yesterday, because I was foolish. I mean, you have an opportunity to help people as an ambassador. You don't go out, you know, ridiculing the guy for his ignorance. Do you?
No.
All right, look at Acts 18 and Ephesians chapter 4.
You are hard recruiting.
I was hard recruiting? Well.
Hey, fine.
Yes.
It's not just the ridiculing, it's you can grab their idol in the nicest way possible. But if that's what you go for, instead of trying to just teach them and love them,
right,
they're going to start defending right away, right? No matter how you do it.
I think that's, and I have to say, I learned that from you, where, you know, you don't have to take the man's idol. Let him play with his toy, you know. And in the meantime, you know what? You just hold another one up that has more appeal. You know, it's like, you had a nice ball there, but did you ever see this? This one bounces higher. and it's more colorful. And, you know, you can't bust this ball. This is a great one. And then after a while, you say, let me see that. And then, you know what? You got them. And so, yo, take it. It's yours. Go ahead. But Acts 18. Here's some ambassadors in action.
18 what?
Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. That's a plus. And being fervent in spirit. That's a plus. And he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. That's a plus. Knowing only the baptism of John. That's a negative. Right. So he had a lot of things going for him, didn't he? But he was limited in
knowledge.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. There he's plus again. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and they began, and they expounded unto him the way of God more what?
Perfectly.
More perfectly. Completely. That's where, you know what? That word is acrobos. You know what? They kind of pointed out the bullseye to him. He said, you know what? You shooting, but you're all over the place. Let me get you right there. And that's what we do. You know what? Is they took him unto him. They didn't rebuke him in public. They, you know what? They gave him a note. Say, see me after service. And they gave him the note. I'm just paraphrasing it. And first thing is, who are Aquila and Priscilla?
There was a tent makers that had shared town with Paul.
They had been with Paul, so they got it from him. So you know they knew, right? They were equipped. That's another thing for an ambassador. You know what? You gotta be equipped. You just don't go out there with. If you're going to instruct more perfectly, then you gotta have a more perfect understanding yourself. So they called him up and they expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. How did he do that? For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was what?
Christ.
So he, you know what? He started off slow, but you had two ambassadors that did what? They got him over the learning curve. And he was able to go out and do what? Help some other people. And you know what? I just bet they did it in the right spirit.
Well, they took him aside.
They had to.
They treated him with respect. And
that's, you know what? This is for us. This is examples of how you do this thing. And we don't always do it. But you can instruct Ephesians chapter 4. I said Ephesians 4, didn't I? Ephesians 4, verse 1. Now this is every day. You're gonna run into this opportunity. You can every day. Every day you talk to somebody. It could be your son, it could be a coworker, it could be your wife, it could be your daughter. You're going to run into an opportunity where your ambassadorship can be utilized. Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, there it is again, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know what a vocation is, right?
Job.
That's his job. What's his job?
Ambassador.
He said, yeah, I'm beseeching, I'm begging you to walk worthy of this vocation, which means you can walk what?
Unworthily.
He says, you know what? I've given it to you, but you don't have to do the right thing. One of the guys, I think I told Ed this, one of the guys at the conference, we had that conference down in Holly Springs, where all this great, you know, doctrine floating around, you know, what we got in Christ and our gospel, how great it is. And the guy says, man, he said, I didn't even make it home without getting into it with my wife. I was like, well, nobody's exempt. But the point was, is it's not just words on a page. You have to eat these words. And you know what? When they really work, it'll come out. And that's where the real, where he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. How do I do that? Look at verse 2. With all
lowliness.
What is that? Don't go too fast here. What is lowliness?
Humble.
Humbleness. Humility. He don't mean walking lowly, like get down to the ground like this. Walk lowly. He means, you know what? Esteem the other person better than yourself.
Not talk down to.
Right. Don't, you know what? You don't have to verbally abuse them. You don't have to show your intellectual superiority. You know what? Condescend to men of low estate. He said, mind not high things. You know what? Get down on his. You have to meet him at his point, wherever he is. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might win some. That's an ambassador. That's an ambassador's mindset. He says, all lowliness and what?
Meekness. Strength under control.
All right, I'll go for that. Strength is under control. Poise under pressure, wherever you want to put it there. It's, you know what?
Not being aggressive.
Not being aggressive. I like that, because we know you can get after somebody with the verses, couldn't you? And we've all done it. Oh, I mean, it's...
You walk in like a lamb and...
Go, you walk in like right.
Walk in the right way.
Walk, you know what? Walk in like a lamb, walk out like a lamb. He says, with
long
suffering. Suffer long.
And that's what you have to be able to be in lowliness and meekness in front of maybe somebody who doesn't really want to understand these new things.
That's, you know what? And it is really, it does get challenging. But this is what I think about is, even if I've already overstepped the line, I still remember, I can get the verses and say, you know what? Hey, you know what? I said that wrong. Let's start over. Let's,
Well, what I meant by walking out like a lion was that you went in like a lamb. You conversed and you convinced, and you walked away, maybe strutting too much. That might have been it.
Oh,
exactly.
Well, even that way, you shouldn't. You should come out.
Strut, yeah.
You should come out thanking the Lord that He was able to prick that man's heart, because it's not you. He says, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the key right there. You have to look at that person as a fellow member of the body of Christ, or for the sinner for whom Christ died. You have to see his soul.
I was just thinking the parallel in Galatians 6, where it says, brethren, even if a man is caught in trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted. If someone is not, doesn't have the truth, you know, it's like, well, aren't you blessed that someone who was an ambassador to you and showed you the truth, and you wouldn't have it if someone hadn't done that for you?
That's what we look at this like. We've been knowing this all along. Like nobody ever, you know what? A good example, Ed can probably tell you more about it, is when you were learning from Jerry. The word was still powerful, but in all times, he was not a good ambassador. And you can say, you know what? The Lord showed it to you in spite of him.
He used his
because he was giving you the verses. But that's not how you want to do it. Because if you had to say, you know what, if you could learn this message from anybody, he probably wouldn't be on top of your list. You probably would say, I know just the guy. You know, you look for somebody with a more caretaking spirit. And that's where he's telling you how to do it. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what an ambassador does. It's not something that you go in and try to create. The Spirit has already established this unity. And we just go in and we endeavor to maintain it. Endeavor to keep it. It reminds me, every time I see that word, I think about the Josie Wales, where the Indian, he's like, endeavor to persevere. And it was this slogan, you know what? You got to do your best, do your diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is why ambassadors get the hostility right here. He says, what is the unity of the Spirit? Here it is. There is
one body
and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Let's say one hope. One Lord. One faith. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. If we can get those seven things as ambassadors and we strive to keep those things, there's nobody we shouldn't be able to fellowship with. And there's nobody that you shouldn't be able to sit down and instruct in meekness, with long suffering. And when you find out you can't do it, then you realize that just don't let it be. You endeavor to keep it. Then you'll know, you know what? I've done all I can do to keep it. He just won't keep it. And you say, I'm not the ambassador. You have to send somebody else for this guy. And you've planned it. And you move on, and another ambassador comes in, and he may water. And then God, peradventure, look at 2 Timothy, and we'll stop at this one.
Well, you might have a, sometimes it's like you might be walking a tightrope with the meekness and lowliness. And I just, back to where you just read a minute ago in Acts about Apollos. He came out, and he mightily convince them. So you got a tightrope. It's almost like I got the authority, or I can speak with authority, but I got to, humble. It's a kind of a.
Yeah, it is. It is. I see what you're saying. You can be forceful, but at the same time,
not rude, but just forceful.
Not right. Not rude, but forceful. Right. I knew it.
But that's kind of where you're responding to your audience. You know, it might be that with one person, that's the way it flows.
Yeah, there's, and that comes, you know what, I would say that comes with maturity and experience, where you have to know how to deal with certain audiences. I would
but don't
say
you think
that.
Paul, at some points, he was like...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you know, he was.
Definitely. That's, for example, even Peter. When yeah. Paul was with Peter, he says, I rebuked him to the face. When he was in Jerusalem, or in Galatia, when Peter didn't walk right, he says, he didn't say I pulled him to the back room. He said, I withstood him to the face. I said, hey, you out of line. And you know what? They're probably like, whoa. And Barnabas too. So you know they had a room full. And
there's a right way and a wrong way.
There's
no
a
Paul. Decided.
But because he did that, he did Peter like that because Peter knew. But when you're dealing with people who don't know, you know, you have to be a little delicate. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24 and 25 and 26. Paul says, 23, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach. That means, you know what? Able to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And that's, I think, the third thing is more things, but third point you can realize is when you're dealing with people, there's always something behind the man. Whether it's the flesh, and you know the satanic opposition doesn't want him to see this gospel. You know that. So when the guy puts his dukes up, you have to realize, you know what? It's flesh and it's the devil. He doesn't want him to see the gospel, for one, and then he's going to naturally protect if you feel like if you're trying to steal something from him. So, you know what? It's like, hey, put your dukes down, man. I just want to talk to you. You know, don't be alarmed. And he says, in meekness, instructing, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, instructing those that oppose themselves. If he's not embracing this truth, he's really opposing himself. You could go in and tell them, man, you're just fighting yourself. He didn't want to hear that. But as an ambassador, these are all things you have to remember when you talk to people. And more so on our part is to be equipped to handle the job. There's ways that, like in my job, when I got there, they gave me the keys to the car. Mm-hmm. They said, there you go. He said, here's your territory. Go get them.
Like,
what? What? How do I do it? I had to learn myself. I had to get books. I had to, you know, get tapes to find out how to be a salesman. And, you know, this is the largest distributor in the country. It's like, wait a minute.
I'll try.
Yeah, what's going on here? This can't be right.
And when you become an ambassador, you need to learn diplomacy.
Thank you. That's great. Great example. You know what? Learn diplomacy. Be diplomatic when you go to, you know, you don't go there and say, we're going to bomb the heck out of you. Like, wait a minute. I thought we were trying to be friends here. It's like we have a message of peace and reconciliation. We don't go in and... I was going to say something. Anyway, But that was, you know, I think about it is we all, you know what, we're all going to have an opportunity to do this again. And we all can use some refining. Right. But the thing is I really appreciate that, you know, we have the information. I can't stress that enough. Is every time I read this, I think, like, Lord, how did you see fit, you know what, for me to see this? Where, you know what, I'm not pretending that I know God. I'm not pretending to be something that I'm not. It's like, you know, I don't have to go make believe at work that, you know, I'm trying the best I can make it in. And all this, the things that we see out here, I'm not teaching. I'm not saying I'm a pastor and I don't know anything. You know, I shouldn't have said that. But I look at it and I say, Lord, thank you. You know, what else can you say? It's just, you know what? And I want to be a better ambassador. And like Paul says, he said to Corinthians, he says, I'm writing these things not that I would have dominion over your faith, but I want to be a helper of your joy. And that's where you go in and, with diplomacy, and say, man, I want to share something with you that, like these guys do on TV, you know, the gimmicks. I want to share something with you that will revolutionize your life. Isn't that what they say? You'll never be the same after you partake of this product.
1995.
That's right. What? For a small donation. And this is free. This is free. And you know what? And you know it'll work. Don't you? And it's not some cheap product you're selling, you know, peddling, you know, snake oil. It's like, this is the real, this is it. And you know,
you sell a product you believe in.
you know you got the best thing going.
Yep.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And so, you know what? You go out, and the best way to show that the product is working is to demonstrate it. Us. You talk about in Hebrews, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, it was in Psalms. I think it was in Psalms. But that's the best way to do it. And you go, you know what? You show the guy, say, you know what? I met a guy. You need to get acquainted with him. As an ambassador, that's our, you know what? That's the privilege we have. It's a privilege. And it may not have been, you know, laid out where, you know, step by step, but I think we got the picture of how we could be better ambassadors. You know what? To realize that, number one, we're nothing to start with. And he made us who we are because we're in Christ. And he's given us this privilege. And he says, you got it anyway, but you know what? Equip yourself. Equip yourself to go out, you know what, with the information. The ambassador should know everything about his country that there is to know. And you should know everything about your country that there is to know. And then you give the information with diplomacy. Like that. You know, in meekness. With, you know what, in love. And don't let them change you.
Don't put on a turban.
Don't let them change you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to look into your word, to share your word together. Lord, we thank you for all these people who are come out to hear your word today. Lord, hopefully they can look past the presentation and grasp the words that they might work effectually in them when they believe it. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and great opportunity it is to be an ambassador in your stead. Lord, we just thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Very out of fine, Frank.
Frank, that was a good one.